Good morning. The glow of Easter remains. Our risen Christ has promised to be with us always. My name is Laura Lee Axtell, and I'm a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community who shares God's love, builds bridges, and inspires spiritual transformation. We are a community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so we can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it in to the ushers during passing of the peace. Today's radio broadcast is provided in celebration of John Lafe's birthday by his children, Jerry, Joanne, and Jeff. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Here are a few announcements. To help Pastor Sana get to know us, please wear your name tag. If you don't have one, leave your name on the page near the name tag holder and one will be made for you. This year's Easter offering totaled $1,590. This will be divided between Lesueur and Lesueur Backpack Program and the CADA. Thank you to all who have given. Are you or someone in your family graduating from high school and planning to attend a college, technical school, or community college? Scholarships for member youth up to $250 are available. An application can be picked up at the church office. The deadline to submit an application is May 15, 2026. On Tuesday the 14th, the Ruth Circle will meet at 2 o'clock p.m. and the Church Council will meet at 7 p.m. The Zion photo directories are in. Please pick up a copy in the overflow area and mark off that you have received your copy. The Congregational Care Team is looking for new volunteers to help support our church family through visits and phone calls. If you have a heart for listening and serving those in need, please contact Pastor Sana by email or calling the church office. Registration is open for our Vacation Bible School, which takes place June 15th to 18th. It's open to all children from preschool to sixth grade. You can register on our website. And last but not least, please submit items for the May Zion Herald to Diane, our church administrator, by April 15th. Now let us prepare for worship.
Have you ever wished you could see something with your own eyes before believing it? That's exactly how Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, felt after Christ's resurrection. When Jesus died on the cross, all his friends were heartbroken and scared, hiding in a locked room like kids during a thunderstorm. But then Jesus came back to life and appeared to his disciples, except Thomas wasn't there that day. Talk about bad timing. When the other disciples excitedly told Thomas, "We saw Jesus." "He's alive," Thomas basically said. "Yeah, right. I'll believe it when I see the nail holes in his hands myself." A week later, Jesus appeared again, and Thomas was there, and Jesus wasn't mad at all. Instead, Jesus showed Thomas his hands and said, "Here, touch and see, it's really me." Thomas immediately believed Jesus was Lord, who smiled and said, "You believe because you saw, but blessed are those who believe without seeing." From Thomas, we learn that our questions and doubts can actually lead us to an even stronger faith when we bring them to Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I see these are the die-hard Christians here that are not here on, that are here after Easter. Welcome to Zion United Church of Christ. My name is Sana, and I am your pastor. I've been here 4 weeks. I'm not counting, I promise. I'm grateful to have you here this morning in worship, whether this is your first time or you've been here for a while. We're so glad you're joining us today. Today we will have communion, and we will be having communion for the next 6 weeks. I know I'm shaking things up. People are like, "Why?" But it's good. It's good. During Easter season, lots of churches do communion weekly, and we're going to have altar communion this week. Everyone is welcome to the table. Please remember to fill out your prayer request cards and give them to the ushers during passing the peace. Let us prepare for worship. Take a deep breath and bring your presence and awareness to this space. Another deep breath. Please join me in the call to worship. Let us say to the Holy One, you are our God. We have no good apart from you. The Holy One is our chosen portion and our cup. God holds us, holds our lot. The Holy One provides us protection and refuge, keeps us in pleasant places, and gives us a good heritage. Amen. Please join me, hymn number 4 in the New Century Hymnal, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Ye. Gracious God, you never abandon us the way that we sometimes abandon you. We blame you for the things we have collectively caused or that life demands, yet we often give ourselves credit for the good that comes our way. We want to be absolved without engaging in repair. Help us to cherish grace of gift and mercy as a miracle. Have mercy on us, Holy One. Amen. Even in the midst of doubt or when we fail to see God among us, God is still at work, still healing, still forgiving, still loving, still creating. In the name of Christ, whose body God raised to life, know that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. The peace of the Lord always with you." Let us pass the peace with one another. Happy birthday to John Lowell. Is he here? John? Yeah, happy birthday. Yay! Okay, Christ calls us to draw close and examine the wounded hands and feet of the risen one and to know the depth of his love for us. Let us therefore approach God in confidence as we pray for all the people according to their needs. Let us pray. Gracious God, as Jesus centered the locked room to show his disciples, entered the locked room to show his disciples the beginning of a new world, so enter our hearts and move us to faith in Jesus as the risen one. May we know the reality and the significance of the resurrection in our hearts and our lives reflect it. Free us from fears. Give us courage in the face of evil and death, knowing that this is the gateway to a new resurrected life for those who trust in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, be with your church throughout the world so that it works to continue the love and testify to Christ's resurrection. Give your church faith and courage and wisdom to continue the work Jesus has started. Build it up and visit it with your spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Peaceful God, bring peace to all parts of the earth. Whatever nations are at war and people are divided, visit and bring true reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy. Forgiving God, whenever homes are disrupted by anger and bitterness, and whatever relationships are broken, bring peace and harmony to all. Lord, in your mercy. Healing God, visit and comfort the sick and suffering. Heal and strengthen weak bodies, calm and correct disturbed minds. We pray for those we know with particular needs. Support them all with your great love and mercy, and be with those others known to us whom we now name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Living Presence, we present our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, who lives among, in, and through us, now and forever. Amen.
The reading today is from Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Amen. Okay, children's message. Any children can come up. And if, or those young at heart. Little ones. Hi. You can have a seat. Look towards me. So you don't, so we can pretend they're not here. Okay? Hi, good morning. Good morning. And we're going to talk about ghosts today. Okay. Last week, we celebrated Easter when Jesus came back to life. It's okay. He has more important things to say than me, okay? This is such a big deal for our community, right, that we will be celebrating Easter for the next 6 weeks, okay? Well, on that very same night, the friends of Jesus, the disciples, locked themselves up in a room, okay, because they were scared. They didn't know what to do. They had heard from Mary Magdalene that Jesus was alive again. But none of the other disciples had seen Jesus. So while the disciples were hiding in that room, Jesus appeared in the room. Do you think Jesus was a ghost? Was Jesus a ghost when he appeared in that room? Was he a ghost? No. What was he? That's a hard question. I don't think adults can answer that one. Some people think that he had a human body because he showed the disciples the marks on his hands and his feet. So people like Luke, who's the author, he wrote a chapter in the book, he believed that Jesus had a real body. But John talks about Jesus having a ghost-like body made of substance. Okay? What do you think that is? What do you think? Do you think Jesus had a real body or a ghost body? It's a really hard one. I took it easy on you guys this morning. So people in biblical times when Jesus was around believed that Jesus had a special kind of body made of human stuff, but not exactly like human stuff. And this special body had a spirit. So it's hard for us to imagine this because we are raised thinking one thing about Jesus and the resurrection. What's important is that we live and love like Jesus did. So pray with me. Someone gave up. Pray with me. Dear God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Help us to know what he knew. So that who he is lives in us. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. The parents are saints, I'm going to tell you right now. Thank you so much. The second scripture for today is John 20, 19 to 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As God has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand is in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Sorry. So let's see what you think of this sermon. I tend to like controversial things. So I have had so many people give me good feedback about the sermon, so I'm pushing the limits here. I enter this sermon with that. When my child named Tonio, I have a child named Tonio, was about 5 years old, a good family friend passed away suddenly. Carla had been a surrogate grandmother to my offspring and was the first person to meet our newborn at the hospital. On the day she died, my child was in the corner of our living room playing and told us Carla was there. At that moment, Tonio telling us they saw Carla didn't make sense. But later that evening, we got a call from Carla's daughter, Samantha, informing us that Carla had passed away about the same hour our son said he saw her. For a couple of weeks, my child would talk about Carla like she was still alive. I did my best to explain that Carla was dead. Her body wasn't alive, but her spirit was now with God. Unfortunately, we never got to see her dead body because this happened during COVID. Many years later, Tonio would ask if I believed in ghosts. As someone who has also seen spirits as a child and adult, I understood what they were asking me. I didn't want to scare them. The idea of ghosts or spirits can even scare full-grown adults. I didn't want to deny that there were spirits among us, and sometimes they make themselves known to us. But I also was curious to know what they thought, so I asked, "Do you believe in ghosts?" This story reminds me of the great debate in our religion about Jesus and the resurrection. As much as we like to celebrate that Christ is risen on Easter Sunday, Christians worldwide also like to argue over the resurrection. Was it historical, physical, scientific? Was it a spiritual event? Was the resurrection real or a metaphor for a new life? What is the truth? What Christians have mostly agreed upon is that something happened a long time ago, but they can't agree exactly what it is or what it meant. This little agreement we have found in 1 Corinthians, written down by Paul about 20 years after Jesus' death. In 1 Corinthians is the third oldest book in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 5, Paul writes, "Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and he was buried that he was raised on the third day in accordance with scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Paul claimed he received these words, which means he wasn't writing about his personal experience, nor was this an original idea of his. Instead, Paul was repeating something that was known to the first Christian communities, the people who still had a living memory of Jesus' death and life. Some scholars think these three phrases represent an ancient creed, perhaps one of the earliest statements of faith that we had. I would like to point out that John says Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene first, not Cephas, but Paul says Cephas. Further down in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul has a complex discussion about the importance of the resurrection. He writes, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body." Paul, in this scripture, was reminding his community that the resurrection was important, but it wasn't quite what the Corinthians envisioned. According to Paul, it involved something called a spiritual body. This resurrected body was made of God's stuff and not necessarily made of blood, flesh, and bones. Resurrection involved a spirit and material body, but it was different than the kind of material body that we have. And so the debate begins. The writer of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, would take issue with Paul's idea of a spiritual body and would insert in his Easter narrative that Jesus said, "Touch me and see me, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Luke insisted that the resurrected Jesus appeared in a regular physical body and liked to eat. In other New Testament writings, Jesus appeared to early followers in mystical visions and dreams, which are distinctly non-physical manifestations of this presence. And in some of Paul's letters, he insisted that individual followers embody Jesus, and the church is called the body of Christ. All this reveals is a diversity of opinion about the resurrection. And although there have been attempts to create a creedal conformity to find out the true account of Easter, to prove that the resurrection scientifically happened through historical evidence, there is a beauty in this diversity of opinions regarding the resurrection. In all these stories and conflicting accounts, we find a diversity of stories, of opinions that can hold a lifetime of faith and doubt, hope and fear, logic and mysticism, awe and skepticism, spirit and body, all of it and more. In my humble opinion, whether the resurrection was physical, literal, or spiritual, ultimately doesn't matter. What matters is that something happened that moved the disciples out of that room, out of fear, and out of hiding in that upper room. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. In today's scripture, the disciples were huddled together in fear. Do you remember Palm Sunday and how Jesus was somewhat mocking the Roman governor entering Jerusalem in a donkey while fulfilling prophecy? His procession was a protest against the oppression of Rome, and the crowd following him yelled, save us, Hosanna. Now their beloved leader had been brutally executed by the Roman government, and the disciples were terrified. They might be next. Paralyzed by fear, the disciples hid behind locked doors in the upper room, the place that they last broke bread with Jesus. The same day that Mary Magdalene told them, "I have seen the Lord," on that same day, they are hiding. But someone is missing. Thomas wasn't there, because Thomas was not hiding. At least that's what I think. Thomas gets a bad rap for wanting to see and touch Jesus' wounds, what the other disciples had already done the week before. Yet Thomas already had proven himself willing to follow Jesus to death. Do you remember? It was Thomas who was unafraid to go back to the land where Jesus was threatened to be stoned to visit Lazarus after hearing of his death. Thomas said to the disciples, "Let us go visit Lazarus. That way we may die with Jesus." It is also Thomas who asked Jesus how to follow him where he is going. In John 14, Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for his followers. And Thomas asked, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Brave Thomas, faithful Thomas, shows his commitment to following Jesus, first to death and then to places unknown. I don't like doubting Thomas. I feel for Thomas. The beauty of today's story is that Jesus didn't deny Thomas the experience of seeing him and being able to touch him. Thomas encounters the open wounds of a risen Christ. Jesus offers himself to Thomas scarred and wounded without shame or guilt. It makes me question the name of doubting Thomas, because why can't Thomas have what the disciples and Mary Magdalene experience? What's wrong with Thomas wanting an affirmation of faith, wanting his own experience with the living and resurrected Christ? Isn't it also interesting that Jesus' resurrected body still retain his scars? These are not old wounds, but raw ones that the courageous, questioning disciple was able to see and place his fingers inside of. To me, these wounds say, "I am with you. I am with you where it hurts. I don't float above reality. Even after death, I dwell exactly where you dwell." The resurrected Jesus never sheds the marks of his pain. Jesus' wounded body reminds us that some hurts are for keeps. Some markers of pain, loss, and suffering leaves traces that no amount of piety will take away. Some wounds remain even after resurrection, and that's okay. To see someone in the fullness of their new life is to also see their pain, their wounds, their suffering. We are a resurrected people, and we are still hurting. The world is still wounded. Jesus' scarred body speaks with great power, great tenderness, mercy, and truth. These wounds help us to remember and contemplate the wonderful truths that our religion holds, the paradoxes that we are Christians that live by dying, receive by giving, rule by serving. Our job is not to collapse these paradoxes, but to honor the complexities of our faith and live faithfully with them. Jesus' resurrected body, his victorious body, still retains its scars. Remember that. Thomas questions how to follow Jesus to where he is going, and Jesus answers. Following Jesus leads not just to death, but beyond. This beyond is beyond what we could imagine. This beyond means the resurrection. Following Jesus leads not just to seeing, but also to embodying the resurrected Christ. When the disciples were hiding behind locked doors, Jesus miraculously appears in the room. He showed them his hands, his feet, demonstrating that the risen one will forever be recognizable as the crucified one. The disciples rejoiced to see Jesus, and no one questioned them for not believing Mary Magdalene's testimony. Then Jesus said, "Peace be with you," and breathed the Holy Spirit onto them. Can you imagine this scene with me? The wounded Christ standing in the middle of fearful disciples, demonstrating to them his scars, his wounds inflicted by state violence, and saying, "Shalom, peace be with you." Even after death, Jesus was not interested in vindication or retaliation, but in creating shalom, peace, harmony, and wholeness for all. The truth is, we will never know all that actually happened 2,000 years ago in that upper room. But we do know that whatever happened transformed a people who were cowering and hiding and filled with fear into powerful people continuing the movement that Jesus started. They became the resurrected people. They proclaimed to the world what they had learned from Jesus. Death did not have the final word. No matter how dead someone or something may appear to be, no matter how dead we may feel, new life is always possible. Those apostles became courageous enough to leave the upper room and gather and build communities of compassion and love. The apostles would build and spread the good news of the gospel throughout the empire within their lifetime. Then, based on the power of their witness, spread it to the world. The disciples demonstrated to us that practicing resurrection begins when we gather together, when we refuse to let fear entomb us. Practicing resurrection happens when we gather to build community of compassion, because resurrection is not something we do alone. Practicing resurrection requires that we share our gifts, our talents, our treasures for the good of all. Practicing resurrection happens when we empower one another to stand up for mercy and justice. Practicing resurrection happens in abundant life, when everyone has enough to live fully, love extravagantly, and be all that they are created to be. See, wounded Jesus led us with brokenness, showed his scars freely, and offering the disciples the testimony of his own wounds. Jesus also meets us where we are, in the upper room of our fears and our brokenness. Like the disciples, may we have the courage to be transformed and formed by the risen Christ into what God is calling us to be and do. May it be so. Amen. Gracious God, you are the giver and provider of all things. We give thanks for who you are and what you have given. We ask that this offering honor your name. Amen. Dedication. Generous one, may these gifts be a blessing to those in need, a source of hope for those in despair, comfort for those who grieve, encouragement for those who doubt, a balm for those in pain. May your generosity reflect our gratitude and our giving be another source of praise. Amen. You may be seated. God be with you.
And also with you.
Open our hearts to the one who is love. Let us give thanks to God, our giver of life. With gratitude, O God, we remember that it is through you we are made truly alive. Every creature and creation, the tiny ones, the scaly ones, the human ones, and the leafy ones, all that is has been shaped by you. There is nothing on this earth that has not been touched by your sacred hand. In your love for us, you claim us individually and as a whole, as your beloveds. You will for us life abundant, and you invite us into co-working with you towards a world where harmony among all life is restored. And yet daily we turn from you and one another. Destructive and divisive powers lure us away from connection and relationship. We forget that we need each other. We pretend that our lives are not deeply entangled. When injustice threatens our neighbors, we too easily cower or hide. Like those who turned on Jesus when things became too difficult, we too are tempted to desert those most vulnerable. But do not abandon us to our fear or sin. In the life of Jesus, love and fleshed, we are shown that the invitation to join in your work of transforming and healing and restoring is always open, no matter our past, no matter our regrets, no matter the wrong done to us or the wrong we have done to others. You keep calling us back to you. This relentless invitation of yours that entices with freedom and joy in forgiveness is a threat to empire that is still attempts to crucify every incarnation of your love today. And so we are reminded of the example given to us in the person of Jesus. On the night that he was arrested, he gathered around a table with his companions. He took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm going to break it some more. This is gluten-free bread, and you can feel free to have some when we partake. In the symbol of the broken bread, we participate in the life of Christ and dedicate ourselves to being disciples. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured is poured out is the new covenant." And so in remembrance of the one who never gave up on love, we pray that the Spirit would make us one in our commitment to the liberation of all creatures in creation. Pour out your Spirit on this bread and on this cup, that through these ordinary elements, we might have a glimpse of your kingdom. May they be for us a reminder that we are capable of what we are capable of becoming and what we're capable of accomplishing together. In the name of Christ, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The table is set. Everyone is welcome. Please come to the altar. The ushers will usher the folks up. Please come up to the altar, receive the bread, wine, or juice. You may eat the bread individually as you receive it, reflecting on its significance. This act is a time of personal reflection on Christ's sacrifice. Hold on to the wine when you go back into your pew, and we will partake it together. close up. This is a cup of blessing and a symbol of the new covenant. May we partake and participate in the new life Christ brings. You can put your cups in front of the pew. God, we give you thanks for this meal that nourishes us, our body and soul. May it sustain us as we confront evil that keeps us from living the lives you intended for us and for all creation. Until every life can be lived abundantly, be our guide, be our hope, be our comforter. Amen. Did you get communion? Thank you. Please join me in the closing prayer. Risen Christ, thank you for turning death into life, sorrow into joy. As we go, keep our eyes fixed on you. Help us to live as true witnesses of your resurrection power, now and forever. Amen. As we go from this place, fill us with your love and grace. May we have the courage to embody the resurrection every day. May we discover what is ours to do in this Eastertide season. May we bring good news of hope and peace wherever we go. Let us truly be your people of the resurrection. Let all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Amen.